Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The question sometimes arises, why do we need several kinds of means of grace? You know, the means of grace are the gospel and baptism and the Lord's Supper. Right? Why do we need three different forms of the means of grace when we receive all of God's forgiveness, all of His grace in one, the gospel? So why do we need the sacraments if we have the gospel and we receive the same thing in the gospel as we receive in the sacraments? Now, sometimes that question is asked with an innocent heart of someone desiring to know how the gospel and the sacraments relate to one another. But very often that question is actually the wrong type of question. And so when somebody asks a question that reveals a wrong head or a wrong heart, it's very difficult to answer that question for that person to their satisfaction, because the question does not come from a thankful heart, gladly receiving all that the Lord has for us. Rather, it often comes from a heart that says, what's the minimum that I got to do to get in on this stuff? You know, how many times do I have to go to church to be saved? How often do I have to take the Lord's Supper, right, in order to benefit from it? And the key idea here is have to. How often do I have to? What do I have to do? And that have to, right, that have to reveals a heart that is not smitten with repentance and not filled with the joy of God's grace in faith. Whenever we're thinking of what do I have to do, we're not thinking in the way of faith and grace. We're thinking in the way of the law and works. Martin Luther says in the small called articles in our Book of Concord, Martin Luther says, God does not give us aid and counsel against sin in one way alone, but that He is superabundant in His grace toward us. First, in the preaching of the gospel, which is the ministry of the word. Secondly, in baptism. Thirdly, in the sacrament of the altar. Fourthly, in the absolution. And fifthly, in the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren. That is, when brothers and sisters in Christ gather together and speak with one another and share the gospel with one another, God is present and active in that. So, the key idea that we want to come today with is not, what do I have to do? Right? That's the way of the law. But rather, God is super abundantly generous to us with His grace. And what He gives us in the gospel, as it strikes our ears, He gives us in the sacrament of the altar, as it strikes our eyes and our tongue. You see? And so God is super abundant with His grace and mercy. And therefore, the whole thing is, well, if I already received the gospel, if I already got absolved from my sins, why do I need it again in Holy Communion? I already got it. Wrong question, right? It's the wrong question, and it reveals a wrong heart. The thing is this, we are utterly fallen creatures We are sinful beyond our own knowledge. All right? The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't even understand the depth of our sin most of the time. We know it when we do something really bad and we're ashamed of ourselves. But most of the time, we're not really fully aware of our sins. And as a matter of fact, the longer that we remain in the faith and the longer that we study God's Word, the more we understand how utterly incapable we are. And then we don't leave it there, how utterly abundant God is with His gracious solution and healing for our sin. He comes with His forgiveness in the preaching of the gospel, or in the reading of the Bible at home, or when we sit and we think about the things that we've heard. The Holy Ghost is present in the gospel with the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Just as He was present in our baptism, where He received us, forgave us, gave us new birth, and began our life as Christians. And so, as He comes to us in the bread and wine of Holy Communion, telling us, "This is my body, this is my blood," superabundant in His grace. And so we, the more we understand our sinfulness and our need of God's grace, the gladder we are for every opportunity to receive God's grace, mercy, forgiveness, and salvation. Whether it comes in the remembrance of our baptism, in the hearing of God's Word, or in the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Sacrament. So with that in mind, that we may rejoice in God's superabundant grace toward us, not only in the Word, but in the sacrament as well, let's consider the words of Jesus from Luke's Gospel today. And I want to focus on just two verses, verse 19 and 20. It says, "He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" So we have Jesus taking bread and blessing it and breaking it in the presence of His disciples. And then He tells them what He wants them to do. Take this, all right? Take and eat, all right? "This is my body, which is given for you." Now notice, first of all, He consecrates the sacrament. Then He offers it to them and invites them to take. All right? He gave it to them, saying, "This is my body." Now, notice the next words, "which is given for you." That means that when we take the Lord's Supper and we receive orally the body of Christ in the sacrament, we are receiving the very body of Christ, which was given for our sins on the cross of Calvary. There is a direct connection between Jesus on the cross and Christ's presence in the sacrament. That is, once and for all, Jesus paid for the sins of the world. Once and for all, He died to redeem sinners and to restore them to fellowship with God and to purchase and win for all sinners eternal life and salvation. This he did once and for all on the cross. And when he died with the words, "It is finished," on his lips. So therefore, the sacrament is not meant to be some kind of a new sacrifice, a new offering to God on behalf of sinners. The sacrament is meant as a means of grace, that is, as an instrument by which Jesus comes to us and gives us with his body and blood, he gives us all the benefits of the redemption which he has accomplished for us. So we, when we eat the body and blood of Christ, we are receiving all the benefits which were purchased and won for us once and for all on the cross. And in order to give these things to us, he gives us the very body of Christ which hung upon the cross, and the very blood of Christ which was shed upon the cross. So that's what it means when it says, "This is my body which is given for you." The body of Christ was given for us on the cross, and redemption was accomplished and finished on the cross. And in the sacrament, the same body and blood are given to us so that we may, through them, receive the saving benefits of what was done for us on the cross. Alright, so you see the connection between Christ on the cross, Christ crucified. Paul said, "I determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified." That's the once and for all atonement. And now, how do we get hold of this? How are the benefits of it given to us? Through the preaching of the gospel, through the sacrament of baptism, and through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Christ is present among us, and he grants us the benefits of his saving work. All right, now let's move on here. It says, "Do this in remembrance of me." What does it mean to do this in remembrance of me? It means to take and eat the bread which is the body of Christ, and to take and eat the wine which is the blood of Christ, and to receive the benefits of Christ through the body and blood of Christ according to God's promise, and thereby remember him. Sometimes people say, "Do this in remembrance of me," and they turn the Lord's Supper into just a kind of like an object lesson. All right, the bread and the wine symbolize the body and blood of Christ, and they simply remind us that Jesus died for us. That's not what Jesus means when he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." What is he telling us to do? To take, to eat, to drink the body and blood of Christ, and by doing so, receiving all the benefits of his saving work. And this is the remembrance. Remembrance in this sense is faith that my redemption is fully accomplished in Christ. And I receive the testimony of it and the seal of it in Holy Communion. And I'm thankful for it. One other thing that I'd like to talk about here is, he says, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Christ on the cross shed his blood and died. All right? This is the key of everything. His body was given, his blood was shed, and he died for us. Shed for you. Given for you. What Jesus did on the cross, he did for you. When you hear that this was done for you, it incites faith in your heart. And when you have faith in your heart, you rejoice at the remembrance of these things. But Jesus also speaks of his blood as the New Testament in my blood. And what does he mean by that? He means that the entire Old Testament religion has been superseded by the New Testament religion. All right? That is, under the New Testament, which Jesus put in effect by his blood and death. All right? Under the New Testament, we no longer have to have a temple in Jerusalem. We no longer have to have a priesthood from the tribe of Levi. We no longer have to do the ceremonial works of the law, because the old covenant under which the Jews lived until Christ came has been put out of effect, and the New Testament is put into effect. Now, that doesn't mean that we ignore the Old Testament. And it doesn't mean that we don't read and teach and believe the Old Testament. But we read it, believe it, and teach it from a New Testament fulfillment standpoint. And that's very important to understand. What does the Old Testament mean? It means what the New Testament says it means. Right? A lot of people, including some fundamentalists in our modern world today, they kind of don't know what to do with the Old Testament because they make the mistake of interpreting it the way the Jews do, as if Christ hadn't come and fulfilled everything. Once you understand that Christ is what the whole Old Testament was really all about, and that his coming is the fulfillment and the superseding of all that stuff, then when you read it and you study it and you enjoy it, you understand it as a Christological book and not as a law-oriented Jewish book. All right? Now, why am I saying this? Because Jesus gave us his last will and testament in this sacrament. And the New Testament that he has established with his blood is the promised new covenant that was promised in the book of Jeremiah. The days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers on Mount Sinai, but this covenant will be a covenant in which I will remember their sins no longer. It is a covenant based on the forgiveness of sins. Right? So, the key thing that we have to understand when we believe that the Lord's Supper gives us the true body and blood of Christ is that it gives them to us as those who are the heirs of the inheritance and the rightful recipients of the last will and testament of Christ. What is he bequeathing to us? Forgiveness, salvation, eternal life, the kingdom of grace now and the kingdom of glory hereafter. And so, today, in considering the body and blood of Christ given for us on the cross and offered to us in the Lord's Supper, by which we receive all the benefits, forgiveness, life, and salvation, that we wouldn't make that mistake that so many people make of going, how many means of grace do I have to have? Right? Whenever that thought comes into your mind, remember, that's the wrong question. The right way of saying it is, so I get to enjoy the grace of God in all kinds of different ways? Thanks be to God. He comes to me in the gospel. He comes to me in my baptism and the remembrance of it. He comes to me in the Lord's Supper. He comes to me in holy absolution. And he comes to me when brothers and sisters in Christ converse with one another about the blessings of Christ in the gospel. And through these things, he is gracious and superabundantly generous in his mercy. Thanks be to God. Amen.